Well, joining me to discuss this morning and plenty more is Lyrian Daniel, an ARC Research Associate from the School of Architecture and Built Environment at the University of Adelaide. Welcome on the show, Lyrian.
Good morning.
Now, why are Australia's houses some of the coldest in the world?
Yeah, so I guess traditionally our housing in Australia has really been designed to cope pretty well with the heat. I think there's a general perception that really Australia is a very hot and dry country. So, yeah, that's traditionally been the style of our house design.
Okay, and I suppose, I mean, there seems to be this common perception amongst many Australians that Australia's hot climate is far more dangerous than the country's cold weather. We see a lot of campaigns warning us about the heat and the damage the heat can do to us in many ways. Is this notion driven by public health campaigns that urge most Australians to stay cool and prevent the health effects of heat and dry conditions? I mean, why do you think it's the case that this has happened?
Absolutely. So that's what we think as well. So we really have a pretty good awareness when we're expecting a heat wave. We know, particularly for our elderly in our community, we know to stay cool, use air conditioning if we have to, go to a cool place. But I guess in the winter time, we really don't have the same volume of public health awareness around keeping sufficiently warm in winter.
Sorry, I've turned the wrong microphone on there. Now, what are some of the ways in which people who are actually unable to access services to keep their homes warm during colder months?
Yeah, so I guess it's a bit of a tricky problem, and some of the most vulnerable people in our community are the least able to actually, I guess, fix up their housing or afford energy bills. So things that we can look at are a really simple retrofit, like sealing around windows and doors. So when people are heating, that heating is staying trapped inside rather than sort of escaping through these cracks, or retrofitting double glazing or ceiling insulation. So there are things like that, but some of the state governments also have energy subsidies or electricity subsidies, and we're seeing some bulk buy energy schemes as well. So trying to give households a little bit of relief on their energy bill.
Indeed, just thinking about the way houses are designed, this issue of not enough houses being insulated, and do you think there needs to be changing around construction codes for homes that houses need to be built with insulation?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess we do have minimum performance standards, and we've had them since the early 2000s. And when they were first introduced, they were pretty progressive. But unfortunately, we haven't really seen significant enhancement of those standards for the past decade, and we're not likely to into about 2022. So there's a real sort of case for making a strong argument to get quite significant enhancement of those standards in the next revision of the building code. The other problem is that we have this quite significant proportion of existing building stock which has no minimum performance standards. So for people buying it, maybe they have some capacity to retrofit, but for say renters or tenants, there really is very little, I guess, ability to make those changes to the house.
Let's talk about renters or people who might be at the lower SES end of the spectrum. Families have been and continue to be affected financially by the increase in energy prices, particularly for heating and gas. So how has this impacted the ability to address cold housing in Australia? And what is the research indicated as well?
Yeah, so we had an opportunity to follow up with a few households here in South Australia in Adelaide and actually go and ask them about their cold housing and conduct some measurements over winter. So we found generally all the people that we went and talked to had pretty sort of poor quality housing in terms of thermal performance. So either it just hadn't been updated or it wasn't designed to stay warm in winter. So there were people that could generally afford their energy bill and they just stayed warm, and it was sort of like, well, this is just what it is, we have to afford it. But there were the other people as well that unfortunately just couldn't, and many of them also had existing health issues that were exacerbated by living with this cold housing.
Okay, and are Australian houses, what can be done about cold housing in Australia then? Does there need to be a greater look at changing those performance standards across the country in order to effectively address this issue? And, I mean, you said earlier about how these standards might not be changed till 2022. Are there any short-term fixes?
Yeah, I guess on an individual household level, people can look at retrofit. So again, building ceiling, insulation, double glazing, things like that. On a national level, I guess, the most pressing problem is we don't know the really true extent of this problem and how it impacts people nationwide. So we really need a good solid evidence base to make that argument to, I guess, policymakers about increasing those standards.
Thank you very much for joining the program.
Pleasure. Thank you.